Your ability to set priorities among your goals, tasks, and activities is the key to personal effectiveness. See, the natural human tendency is to major in minors and to work very diligently on things that in many cases need not be done at all. So let's start with how you set your own personal priorities. Number one, begin with your values. What is important to you and in what order? Peak performance and high self-esteem only occurs when your activities and your values are congruent. When your activities and your values fit together like a hand in a glove. In fact, incongruence or being out of sync between your values and your activities leads to stress, unhappiness, and dissatisfaction. So the starting point of peak performance is to ask, what are your values? What do you believe in? What is important to you? What would you sacrifice for? What would you give up something for? What do you stand for? Or what would you not stand for? Now, point two is that the wrong ordering of values can lead to underachievement and failure. Human beings have been defined as choosing organisms in that we are always making choices. And we always make a choice between what we value more versus what we value less. In fact, sometimes the only way you can tell what you truly value is to look at your behaviors, to observe the choices that you make on a day-to-day basis, and especially to observe how you spend your time. How you spend your time is the very best representation of what your true values and your true priorities are. Here's an example of an ordering of values. Remember that we always choose the higher value over the lower value. We always choose what is most important to us over what is less important. But let us say a person had five values, and the values in order were: one was spiritual, and the second was family, and the third was health, and the fourth was career, and the fifth was integrity. Now, if you look at the first three values, spiritual, family, and health, those seem to be pretty well organized. Then you look at the next two, career and integrity, and you notice that your career, in this example, comes ahead of integrity. Well, a person whose career is a higher value, success in their career is a higher value than integrity, will always choose success in the career over integrity. A person who places their career ahead of integrity is a very different person from the person who places integrity ahead of their career. Or, here's another example. What if you had your values organized like this? Career was number one, family was number two, health was number three, integrity was number four, and spiritual development or inner development was number five. Since career is your number one value, and there are many people whose activities demonstrate that their career is more important than anything else, if your career comes ahead of your family, then you will sacrifice your family to your career. If your career comes ahead of health, then you'll sacrifice your health to your career. If your career comes ahead of integrity, you'll sacrifice integrity to your career. If your career comes ahead of your inner development, then you'll sacrifice inner development to your career. So you can tell by observing many people, by the way they use their time, that often their career comes ahead of all other considerations, and their values are completely out of sync for living a happy, healthy, long life. Now here's another organization of values. Number one would be spiritual. Number two would be family. Number three would be health. Number four would be integrity. Number five would be career. In this case, the person would always choose integrity over their career. They would choose health over their career. They choose family over their career. They would choose spiritual and inner development over their career. A person who organizes their values and their life consistent with those values like this is going to be a far happier and healthier person than a person who places material things ahead of intangible things. Now, the third point is that peace of mind occurs naturally when your goals and your values are aligned. You can use the inner peace test to determine whether you're doing what's right for you. You can always tell what's right for you because whenever you're doing it, whenever you're doing something that's completely aligned with your values, you'll always feel good inside. Whenever you do something that is inconsistent with your values, inconsistent with your own unique organization of priorities in life, you feel uncomfortable. Sometimes people are working at jobs that they don't enjoy. They're frustrated and dissatisfied. It's not because there's anything wrong with the job. It just means that the job is wrong for that person. The people doing the job can be excellent. The company can be excellent. The product or service can be excellent. But it may be wrong for you. So you have to ask by just sitting down and saying, how do I feel about this? How do I feel about this choice, about this decision, about this job, about this relationship? And the answer is that if you feel good inside, if you feel calm, if you feel peaceful, If you feel at ease inside, it means that it's right for you. And if you feel dissatisfied for any reason, it means that it's probably wrong for you. And the fourth point is to ask, what part of your life is stressful? Where are your activities out of sync with your basic values and convictions? Where are your activities and your goals inconsistent with what is really important to you? And most of all, what are you going to do about it? In our seminars, we talk a lot about the C word, C standing for courage. And we say that if you're going to ask yourself, what are your values? If you're going to identify what it is that's important to you, you have to have the courage to follow where this line of reasoning leads. If you say that one of your most important values is inner peace or peace of mind or personal happiness or health or a feeling of personal satisfaction or self-esteem, then you have to be willing to look at your life and to go systematically through your life and adjust or eliminate those situations and activities and people that deprive you of inner peace and satisfaction and self-esteem. You have to have the courage to follow where your reasoning leads you. Now, once you're clear about your values, it's much easier to set priorities. And here are some key ideas to help you determine your priorities. The first key idea is what is called the Pareto Principle, which is the 80-20 rule. An Italian economist named Vilfredo Pareto in 1895 concluded that you could divide not only people but activities into what he called the vital few versus the trivial many. And he said that in any number of activities in any population of any size, there were the 20% of activities that accounted for 80% of the value of those activities. And then there were 80% of activities that only accounted for 20% of the value. This Pareto principle has subsequently been applied to virtually every single area of modern life. It's been found, for instance, that 20% of your customers give you 80% of your business, that 20% of your products account for 80% of your sales, that 20% of the restaurants that you know account for 80% of the times that you go out for dinner, that 80% of your problems come from 20% of the people that you know, and so on. But it also means that 20% of what you do accounts for 80% of the value of what you do. And in some cases, it's 90-10, that 10% of what you do accounts for 90% of the value of what you do. So what I recommend is that you Pareto principle everything, that you 80-20 everything. Before you start doing anything, you always ask, is what I'm doing amongst the 20% that accounts for 80% of the value? Every single day and every single hour of every day, break up your activities and what you do into this 80-20. Take some time to think before you act and always concentrate on the 20% that accounts for most of the value. Now, the second key to setting priorities is to separate the urgent from the important. Now, there are many things that are urgent, like a ringing telephone, somebody coming into your office, an unexpected interruption, and so on, that are not particularly important. And important things, things that have long-term consequences, are very seldom urgent. The things that you should be working on most of the time during your working day are things that are both urgent and important, things that have to be done and that have long-term positive or negative consequences if they are done or not done. The third key to help you set priorities is what is called the limiting step principle. And it has been discovered that between you and any goal you want to accomplish, there's almost invariably a limiting step, which is the bottleneck that determines the speed at which you accomplish that goal. And one of the keys to personal effectiveness is to look at your work on a day-to-day basis, even an hour-to-hour basis, and say, what is the limiting step that determines how quickly I achieve what I'm trying to accomplish? How quickly I get from where I am to where I want to go. What is the bottleneck that determines the speed at which I get there? Sometimes when I'm consulting for a corporation, I'll ask a question like this. How many companies here depend for their business on responses to their advertising, on people telephoning the company in response to their advertising? Now, there are always managers who will say, yes, that's how we do our business. We advertise and we expect people to phone us. I say, now, can you provide all the goods or services that people want to buy if you were to have a tremendous rush? They say, yes, we can provide all that our customers can buy. I say, so the limiting step in the growth of your business, the limiting step in profitability, the limiting step in success in your career is the number of qualified prospects who call on the phone. Is that correct? And they'll say, well, yes, it is. So therefore, if that's the limiting step, then the best minds in the business, the most creative intelligence, should be focused single-mindedly on getting that telephone to ring with more qualified prospects to the exclusion of everything else. Because if you can do just that one thing, which is alleviate that limiting step or bottleneck, if you can get the phone to ring more often, that alone will lead to the accomplishment of all other goals in the company. Is that correct? By identifying the limiting step, it enables them to set a very clear order of priority on what they should be doing versus what they shouldn't be doing. And this is true in almost every area of your work and your personal life. The fourth idea is to ask, what is the future impact of a present action? What we have found is that if something is of a high priority, it can have a high future impact, or it can have very positive or negative consequences if it is done or not done. Something that is of low priority has no consequences at all if it is done or not done. Let me give you an example. If you were to launch a new advertising campaign, or to take a course that upgraded your skills in your profession, or to read a book or listen to a tape program like this, that has potential long-term impact. Playing with your children, spending time with your family, has potential long-term impact for the happiness and health of yourself and your family and your children. However, watching television, reading the sports page, having a cup of coffee, going out for lunch, is a very low priority task because it has no future possible impact on your family or on your life. In other words, nothing of any consequence is going to come as a result of having coffee, whereas reading a book, investing in yourself, working an extra hour, making extra calls, and so on, can have long-term positive consequences. So asking yourself, what are the possible consequences of my actions? What are the possible future positive or even negative consequences of my actions? Gives you a very clear idea of what is important to do and what is unimportant for you to do. Now, a fifth idea in terms of setting priorities is what I call creative procrastination, which means that you must learn to procrastinate creatively on the 80% of things that you have to do that account for only 20% of the value. In other words, if you procrastinate long enough on low priority tasks, on low value tasks, eventually you end up not doing them at all. So procrastination is not bad as long as you procrastinate on tasks that have no particularly high payoff. Now, the sixth idea is doing the right thing versus doing things right. It's been said that the difference between leaders and managers is that leaders do the right things and managers simply do things right. So one of the most important things you can do is to sit down and think through, what are the right things to do? What are the right things for you and others to concentrate your time and attention on? Remember, if it's not worth doing, it's not worth doing right. Now, the seventh idea is what is called setting posteriorities. You heard about setting priorities. We're now talking about setting posteriorities, which means stopping something or asking yourself, before I launch on a new project or set a new goal or make a new commitment, what am I going to stop doing? What am I going to cut out? What am I going to eliminate? What activities am I going to delete? And setting posteriorities, deciding to stop doing something, to stop associating with someone, to stop engaging in a particular type of activity, requires both courage, the C word, and decisiveness. Because no matter how talented or energetic you are, you can only do so much. And the biggest mistake that people make that cause their problems is they keep taking on new things to do without consciously deciding what they're going to delete or stop doing. Now, the eighth idea in setting priorities is what we talked about earlier, the A, B, C, D, E method, where A means things that you must do that are vital and important and urgent, and B means things that you should do, but they're not urgent, and C means things that are nice to do, but there's no negative consequences if you don't do them at all, and D means things that you should delegate or outsource or refer to others, and E means eliminate, and ask, what would happen if this weren't done at all? If there are no negative consequences to completely eliminating a task, then it's important that you make the decision to eliminate it. Let me go back to delegate for just one second. One of the greatest trends that's taking place in the modern business world today is what is called outsourcing, where instead of doing it yourself, you find someone who specializes in doing it outside of your company or outside of your home, and you have them do it. The decision to look for opportunities to outsource or delegate or get things done by other people to free you up for the things that only you can do is a critical part of setting and maintaining priorities. Now, here are some ideas for developing personal and corporate effectiveness. These are questions for you to ask and answer. The first question, one of the most important for you personally, is this. What are your unique strengths and talents? What do you do especially well? What do you do especially well now? What have you done well in the past? Or what skills and abilities and qualities account for your greatest successes in life and work to date? Where are you good? Where are you better than your competition? Or where do you have the ability to become outstanding? You see, most of your results in life come from your skills and abilities in just a few limited areas. And one of the characteristics of leaders is that they only choose positions and accept jobs and responsibilities where they know they have the ability to perform to distinction. So thinking through over your past life, your past successes, your past jobs, your past occupations, and identifying what it is you do well, where it is you perform in a superior fashion, is one of the starting points of channeling your life, your work, and your efforts into areas where you can really make a difference for yourself and for your company. Here's the second question. Where can you perform to distinction? What parts of your job do you do better than other parts? And how could you organize your work in such a way so that you could just be doing that? Let me give you an example. One of the most successful insurance salesmen in the world sells $100 million worth of insurance every single year. He has a staff of 42 people, all of whom he pays out of his own commissions. These people do 100% of the detail work that is involved in servicing $100 million worth of new customers per year. He does only one thing, makes the appointments, and deals directly face-to-face, belly-to-belly, with the customer, with the client. That's the thing that he does the best. He does that better than anybody. And so he hires people to do everything else except that, so he can concentrate on doing only that and doing it well. So analyzing yourself and saying, what is it that I do better than anything else, and how could I organize my time so I just do that, may be the starting point of you really starting to use your time to its maximum effectiveness. Now, the third point in personal and corporate effectiveness has to do with mastery and excellence. Doing what you do well is a key to higher productivity. Doing more of what you do well and doing less of what you don't do well can sometimes dramatically increase your output. And taking the time, making the efforts, learning what you need to know to become good at your most important tasks is one of the fastest and most powerful ways to increase your performance and your output. A fourth question is, what qualities, products, services, and abilities account for your company's greatest successes? In other words, why is it that your company has grown from where it started to where it is today? How is it recognized in the marketplace? Where is your company good? In what areas does the company perform well? What is the company's area of excellence or area of competitive advantage? Or put another way, where and why is your company and your products and services superior to your competition? This is very often the area where you can make breakthroughs in the marketplace if you can exploit that area of superiority. Question number 5. Does the 80-20 rule apply to your company? What are the most profitable, successful products and services that your company offers? What are the top 20% that account for most of your sales, most of your profitability? Who are the most important customers? Who are the top 20% of customers which are the most valuable to you? Who are the top 20% of the most important potential customers that if you could get, it would make an extraordinary difference? Idea number 6 with regard to personal and corporate effectiveness is what is called corporate triage, which is based on the discovery during World War I when they had so many people being wounded in the front lines on the Western Front, they couldn't possibly handle them all. There were not enough doctors and nurses. So they began dividing them into 3 groups. The first group was the group that would die anyway, whether or not they got medical attention. The second group was the group that would survive anyway, whether or not they got medical attention because they had light wounds. The third group was the group that would survive only if they got medical attention. By dividing them into the 3 groups, they then focused all of their initial attention on the group that would survive if they got medical attention. Then they went to the group that was only lightly wounded, and other people helped make those who would die anyway comfortable. Now, with regard to your corporation, we call these winners, survivors, and losers. So question number 6 for personal and corporate effectiveness concerns your products and is based on corporate triage. You have to ask yourself with regard to your products, which are your products that no matter how much you market them, no matter how hard you sell them, no matter what you do to them, they still are not making much of an impression in the marketplace. They are still losers. They're not going to win. These are the ones that sooner or later are going to die anyway because the market is telling you that they don't want them. The second is, which are your products that are your winners? Which are your winners that are going to survive anyway, that are going to continue anyway? And the third question is, which are the ones that if you spend some time on, if you redesign, repackage, if you market or sell better, you can turn them into winners? And dividing your products that way enables you to see your products in three separate categories and to set priorities on how you commit time and resources to marketing and maximizing your products or services in the marketplace. Do the same with your life activities. Do the same with your relationships. Do the same with your customers. Which are your winners? Which are your potential winners? And which are your losers, the ones who are never going to buy or who buy so little that it doesn't make that much difference? Here's question number 7 for personal and corporate effectiveness. Always ask, where do we go from here? Remember, setting priorities requires discarding the past, requires setting aside the things that you've done in the past and focusing on the future. Focus on opportunities rather than on problems. Focus on solutions rather than on problems. Always ask, where do we go from here? Remember, the future is the most important part of your life because you're going to spend the rest of your life in it. In most companies, 80% of the time of the senior people is spent on the problems of yesterday. That means that only 20% of their time is spent on the opportunities of tomorrow. So choose the future over the past. Always be asking, what do we do from here? Where do we go from here? Where are our opportunities? What lies ahead for us in the future? What can we change today to assure that our future is consistent with what we desire? Question number 8, do I focus my time on the first 20% of a task? The first 20% of the time that you spend on any task usually accounts for 80% of the value of that task or that activity. For instance, if you're in sales, getting the initial appointment and getting face-to-face with the decision maker is the first 20% of the transaction, but it accounts for 80% of the value. The presentation, the close, the follow-up, the delivery of the product or service, and so on, is the second 80%, but it only accounts for 20%. Therefore, focus always on the first 20% and get on with it and get it done. Get on with it and get it done. Question number 9, ask yourself, do I resist the temptation to clear up small things first? Never succumb to the temptation to clear up small things first. Don't get bogged down in low priority activities. The natural tendency for all of us is we make a list of everything we have to do, and then we say, well, I'll get rid of all this little stuff, and then my mind will be clear and I can concentrate on the big stuff. However, I'll tell you something, little stuff multiplies. And if you go to work on little stuff, you never, never get caught up with it. So the key is to refuse to work on small stuff. How do you know it's small stuff? Because it has no future impact. How do you know it's small stuff? Because it's not part of the 20% that accounts for 80% of your results. How do you know that it's small stuff? Because there's no negative consequences for doing it or not doing it. So refuse to give in to the temptation to clear up small things first. Start right off with your most important task. The key to setting priorities, the essence of time management, can be summed up in one simple question. Question number 10. What is the most valuable use of my time right now? One of the characteristics of very effective people is they always do the most important things first. They give themselves enough time and they do things one at a time, and they stay with them until they're complete. Ask and answer over and over again every single day. What is the most valuable use of my time right now? What is the most valuable use of my time right now? And then discipline yourself to work on what is the most valuable use of your time, and to do only that and to stay with it until it's complete. In fact, if you could only learn one principle in time management, I believe this is more important than all others. If you could ask and answer accurately, what is the most valuable use of my time, and then discipline yourself to work only on that until it's finished, that alone will increase your productivity by 50% the very first day you try it. If you could only finish one thing before you went away for a month, what would it be? If you could only finish one more thing before you went away for a month, what would the second thing be, and the third thing, and so on? Remember, all other uses of time, other than the most valuable use of your time, are, relatively speaking, a waste of time, and therefore a waste of life. The wonderful thing is that when you are working single-mindedly on your highest priority task, you have an unending flow of energy, enthusiasm, and self-esteem. But if you work very, very hard on low-priority tasks, you get no bang for the buck. You get no self-esteem, you get no excitement, and you get no pleasure out of completing low-priority tasks. The only time you get joy and satisfaction out of your work is when you're working on something which you know is at the top of your list in terms of its value and its possible future impact and consequences on your life. Self-discipline is the key to setting priorities. It is the key to success.